Back here on Sportsline on WBAL. And yes, the World Cup is now a couple of weeks away. I know people, at least some people, want to talk about this because I've been getting a lot of emails about it. Great opportunity this week and a great opportunity tonight to talk about U.S. soccer and the World Cup in general. The legendary multi-time national champion head soccer coach at the University of Maryland, Sasho Sarosky, joins us now. Coach, thank you so much for being on the program.
Great to be with you as always. Thank you.
Well, let me first say, are you following Maryland baseball these days? Is College Park buzzing over the Terps baseball team?
Everyone's buzzing about Terps baseball. What Coach Shep and his staff have done is remarkable. It just reminds me that the first year back in 94 when our program broke through, got to the Sweet 16, just the excitement is incredible. And I tell you, that's a great staff and a great group of young men. And we see them daily in the team house. And what they did last week in the run at the AC Championship and then continued this week is just fantastic. And I just hope they can go down to Charlotte Trail and knock them off and get to the World Series. It'd be unbelievable.
That really would be. I know everyone, despite leaving the ACC, would love to see the Terps beat UVA in anything. All right, Sasho, let's talk about this USA team. And let's start with yesterday's friendly and the win over Turkey in New Jersey. What do you take away from that game, if anything?
Well, that was an improvement from the Azerbaijan game. I thought this was a little bit more of a realistic test for the game. I thought there was some very good moments for the U.S. Really in the attack going forward. I thought there was some good connectivity. I thought the Turkey back line was a bit suspect, quite honestly. But I thought that our back line showed at times a little bit of a work in progress. But there was a lot of good takeaways. I think we're going to have to be better than that, come the Ghana game. But it was an improvement from the last performance. And, hopefully they can get a little more connected and a little more fluid by the time we get to play Ghana.
I guess the biggest issue on the general public stage is the absence of Landon Donovan on the team. How tough is it to have a superstar like him, known to everyone else, but maybe his skill set might not be up to par as some of the other guys, but how critical is it of Klinsmann to kind of, keep that on the back burner within the locker room and continue to move things forward, even though that's on the national stage as far as what everybody sees in this U.S. team?
Yeah, I think it's a very challenging job. I think it took a lot of people by surprise, including a lot of their key players in the locker room on that team. So I think it was a surprising thing for all of us involved, but that's the coach's decision and judgment, and now he's got to get the locker room back. And it looks like he's moved on, the players have moved on, and at this point it becomes fairly easy to really get your team on the same page when you have an event like the World Cup. I think everybody's sort of moved on past that, the players, the coaches, and now it's about, hey, doing all the little things right and making sure that, when it comes to the 90-minute performance, that it's all there. So I think that, certainly some feelings have been ruffled and hurt, but at the same time, you've got a major, major event that, is a lifetime opportunity for all the players and coaches, and now it's, hey, we're all in and we got to get this done.
Oh, okay, so now it's about, yes, that getting it done. From a group standpoint, they're in Group G. You got Ghana and other teams that are going to be, battling it out. How realistic do we see them, I guess, competing somewhat to get out of that group?
Yeah, I think, it's funny because all of a sudden everyone with Landon not being on the squad and some other key players, being left off as well, it seems like it's almost playing the U.S.'s favor, and that people are writing off the U.S. now as a team that will not get out of the group. And certainly that could very well happen because it is a tremendous group. But this is when the U.S. national team, the men's soccer team, has always played its best soccer. Back in the Confederations Cup in 2010 and, in the late heroics of of the World Cup last time. And just you look at our history, it's when people disrespect us, it's when we are the underdog that we come through. So I think in many ways, whether it's the media or a lot of soccer people are saying the U.S. is not going to get out of the group, this is the kind of team that can come through and surprise you. because quite frankly, you know, the African teams and the European teams outside of Germany have never done well when they've left the continent of Europe. And, you know, our team, the American players, are used to travel. They're used to the heat. They're used to some of this stuff. And I think that there's a good chance that we could catch Ghana in the first game. Thankfully, we're not playing them in a key game late because we've shown we've had a tough time with that. But I think the Ghana back line is a bit suspect. And we have to get a tie. I mean, if we don't get a tie or better in the first game, I think we won't go through. So it is a critical game, and there'll be a lot of drama in that game. And looking forward to it as a fan. I do think I get to enjoy it as a fan and not be stressed out.
Sasho Sarofsky, the head soccer coach at Maryland, with us. And I know it's a proud moment for you. Two of your ex-players, two Terps, on this team. How meaningful is that to you as a coach? And also, what will the viewing experience be like in the Sarofsky household, maybe the first family of soccer in the state?
Oh, well, you know, a couple of things. You know, I was very proud to have both Clarence Goodson and Mauricio doing the last World Cup. And, you know, the Landon Donovan, omission took up so much of the media that what was lost a little bit was, Clarence Goodson and Maurice Adu not making the squad. And I felt for those two young men, but I'm so happy for Omar Gonzalez and Graham Zuzi, who, you know, this is their first introduction into the World Cup, and they worked so hard. And, you know, to have four players in the top 30 and have two players going there, no other college has that. It's incredible. I mean, you feel like a proud papa. And you're watching the games, you know. In addition, you know, my wife is a World Cup champion for the women's team in 1991. So we are going to be, I think, the first fans of Maryland. forget the first family. We're going crazy. We've got our, you know, our U.S. flags and gear and all kinds of stuff, and we'll be watching it in our backyard and, having a lot of people here with us.
I know you're obviously a big soccer fan. Anyone connected with the sport is a diehard, it seems. How many games will you actually be able to see? You have a family, you know, you're picking your daughter up from whatever event she has tonight. How many games can you miss, Coach?
Well, I will see at least probably half the games live, and I will certainly have every single game taped. I'll have them on DVDs, I'll have them TV'd, all kinds of different places. But I think the last go around, I saw close to 40 games live in South Africa. And this is one of those moments where, one moment can change anything, and you'd like to see it live. I don't really like watching that many games on tape, I've got it on my calendar already, and I'll have some recruiting to do. I have some camps, I have a few little things, family things here and there, but for the most part, people are going to work around my schedule to watch games.
Coach, and that's pretty fascinating, too, because, you know, are you looking at it from that purely fan's eye, or do you have your coach's hat on and say, ooh, I like that play, or I like the way they had, put the ball through it, and now they're in a position to score? Are you going to be able to take what you've seen there and maybe transfer it over onto the level for your team?
Yeah, so when I watch the U.S. team play, I'm purely a fan, and I'll be jumping up and going crazy and throwing things at the TV and the referees and all that. But the other games, I'll be watching a little bit more with the coach's eye, you know, to see how teams defend set pieces, the little ideas they have on set pieces. Are they zoning? Are they playing man-to-man on corners? You know, what kind of formations they're playing? Where are they finding spaces? What adjustments they're making? All of these things. You have to watch it from a tactical analyst standpoint and see how they can improve your own knowledge in your own teams and reaffirm things you're doing and all of those things. But I'd say for the most part, I'm going to watch for enjoyment, but you always have, one eye looking at how can I learn.